This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I mean, you guys are the best team in Chicago. Everybody knows that. We all know that. The afternoon show is not afraid of anything, really. Yeah. But
Afternoons on the Score.
As we take a look at the Packers offense.
Aaron Rodgers, Cal.
Jamal Williams, BYU. Devontae Adams, Fresno State.
David Bakhtiari, University of Colorado.
Brian Bulaga, Iowa.
Green Bay on the offensive line. They're lucky they got Bulaga back. Rodgers first and 10. Bakhtiari with a block on Quinn. Aaron Jones throws a great block inside. Bulaga and Bell laying the wood. He's down to about the 10. Howard on his back with the tackle. Gain of 11. Where the block, the ceiling block by right tackle Brian Bulaga. Huge on that 11-yard first down run.
Talk to Boog Shambi coming up in about 25 minutes about this recent stretch of good play for the Cubs. But when I was gone, this kind of crossed. It's like a weird thing. Like a gambling site said that David Bakhtiari, the odds-on favorite, was the Bears. And then it picked up a little traction. And we're like, well, that's interesting. Let's talk to our old buddy Brian Bulaga from Barrington, but he hosts at ESPN Milwaukee, and he's kind enough to join us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Brian, how's your summer going, man?
I'm good. Appreciate you having me on. How you been?
Doing well, doing well. We'll talk a lot of different things here, but on this story, you obviously know Bakhtiari very well. He still wants to play?
Yeah, I mean, to my knowledge, he does want to play. He obviously is rehabbing from an injury that has, you know, kind of set him back a few years, and he's been dealing with it. And he had a surgery done, and he's rehabbing. And to my knowledge, when he feels like he's ready to go, he wants to play.
So Bears fans should know about him, right? But you know him really well. You watched him closer than we all did. When he's healthy, how good is he?
Yeah, I mean, when Dave's healthy, I think he is easily a top five left tackle in the NFL. I mean, I think we've seen his body of work over the years when I was there, when I wasn't there, and kind of the player he had become, and what you're used to seeing from him week in and week out was some of the highest level of left tackle play in the league. I mean, I'm talking up there with Trent and Trent would be one, and the left tackle from Texans.
Tunsil.
Tunsil. I think he is up there with those guys all day when he's healthy and humming.
You know, and he's had these injuries, but like he's 32 years old. Trent Williams, who you just mentioned, who people still think is the best left tackle in football, he's 35. So if Bakhtiari gets healthy, there are still a few years of useful football left in him, in theory.
Absolutely. If you get Dave healthy, you got a lot of good ball left for him to play. And, you know, I understand that he's been going through things the last few years, and he's obviously had a couple surgeries to try to correct some things. Then, dude, he finally had this last one done, and he's very optimistic about it. But I think that's less miles on the tires, theoretically, if you look at it, at least the way I look at it. I get he had a major knee surgery to clean up an issue, but the rest of his body hasn't been beat down. So if that knee turns around and comes back from this latest surgery that he's rehabbing, man, you may get an all-pro guy for, you know, a few really good years, and that's that's hard to beat.
Yeah, and it's obviously, again, there's a huge variable here with the injury, so no one's projecting that necessarily. But the age, if he is recovered, does allow for some good football to still be left. This is maybe a weird meatball question, but you'll get it. Would he play for the Bears?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's any teams that would, or any teams in his mind that he is a definite no-go. Again, I haven't talked to him about potential landing spots and where he wants to go. And I mean, to my knowledge, and just speaking with him, I haven't spoke to him in a little bit here, but his number one priority was getting healthy.
Yeah.
And after that, I think it's going to come down to the best situation and fit. And if that's Chicago and that's best for he and his young family, then I don't think he would mind it. I think Dave wants to go somewhere that will obviously appreciate him, and especially if he's healthy and he's playing at a really high level. And if he goes there and he's comfortable with the city, his wife Frankie, and their newborn, if everyone's comfortable in that city, he'll go there. And I think he's open, would be my guess. Now, I don't know. I haven't asked him what exact team you want to go to, but I think at this point, I mean, I don't want to say that he can't be, you know, too choosy with it, but he can be, right? I mean, he can go to a situation that's right for him and that feels good to him. So I don't know why Chicago wouldn't be on that list.
We're talking to Brian Bulaga, ESPN Radio up in Milwaukee, former Green Bay Packer teammate with David Bakhtiari. So I feel like it's been a little bit of a weird offseason for the Packers, because everyone thinks that, you know, Jordan Love can win the MVP, dark horse Super Bowl contender, but not a ton of change. Obviously, Aaron Jones to Jacobs is a significant change at running back, but it seems from afar like the plan is on offense just everybody get a year older, have continuity, and therefore you'll be better. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're very, if you look at them, and at least, you know, the way I look at them, they feel really good about their skill positions, from the tight ends to the wide receivers, and obviously adding Jacobs and letting Aaron Jones go. They feel really good about what they got offensively. Offensive line, they drafted first-round tackle. Not sure if he'll even see the field or not this year. You never know what training camp brings, but offensive line, I mean, they're returning pretty much everyone besides the right guard, and the right guard was getting – Sean Ryan was subbing in and out throughout games and kind of taking reps off of Runyon throughout the season. So they feel really good about the continuity they got up front. I think the big question is, which I'm sure a lot of people looking from the outside in the team, is the defense, right? It's a new scheme, new D coordinator. We haven't run a scheme like this since I was there. I mean, we've been a read and react three down type defense, and now they bring in Jeff Hafley, and he's going to run more of a four down attacking Scott style defense of the likes of Seattle, San Francisco, the Jets, and kind of in that mold. And who knows how it's going to go? We got to see. Do we have the personnel for it? I think we do, but the guy's got to go out there and show it. We added Xavier McKinney from the Giants in the back end. That was the marquee signing.
But that's the key, right? As I understand it, Hafley wants to do a lot of single high, or more single high than we normally see in the NFL. And so you paid money for McKinney, who's one of the best roaming safeties in the league. Like, it seemed like a pretty targeted signing in terms of, we need this player to execute this scheme.
100%. I mean, they are, that's the mold that they're going for, is what we used to see from at least the teams that I played. It'd be like the Seattle, where Earl Thomas would just roam the middle of the field. Cam Chancellor would act as a third linebacker in the box and buzz out if it's a pass, and the D linemen would pin their ears back and go, and the corners were really aggressive. Sherm and those guys would have their, you know, butts to the sideline, eyes on the quarterback, jumping routes. And I think that's kind of what we're getting geared up for here with this new defense in Green Bay. And you know, they got the centerpiece safety to do it. I think defensive line-wise, they got a good stable of pass rushers that can get it done. I think the only thing that I would question is, do they have the corners to do it? We know they got Jaire Alexander. He's a stud. He's very good. But Stokes, our first-round rookie from a while ago, he's been injured, hasn't really played much. This is his fourth year. This is the money year for him. How does he perform? Does he hold up? That's the big question. So a lot of questions on defense. I mean, it's just going to be one of those things. How does this unfold as training camp develops and as we get into the early part of the season?
So I obviously never played football at any level, period. But it feels like you couldn't really do worse than Joe Barry. And this Halfley guy, from all the things that I've read about him and talked to a couple of people, that he's like a real football-y football guy. Like, he's a hard ass. He's a run, effort, tackle, hit, intensity. Like, that in basketball, you know, rebounding is effort. In football, there is some level of just be a nasty badass and run and hit people. Like, I feel like the Packers defense just having the identity of aggression would be a step up from Joe Barry, even if this system is maybe a little difficult to run in the NFL, given how spread out the offenses are and how good wide receivers are.
Yeah, like, I think the biggest thing that, to me, that needed to happen in Green Bay, and it's obviously why the move was done, there needed to be a culture change on the defensive side of the ball.
Yep.
It's been very similar for the last 3-4 years, and it's getting stale and it's getting old, and the guys needed something different. And this is definitely different. It's a complete scheme change. Like I said, obviously, it is a difficult defense, but if you have the right pieces, it looks really good. Like, we're watching it with San Francisco does it. The Jets do it. Seattle did it for a long time. Houston's starting to do it with DeMeco Ryans down there. So, like, when you have the pieces to do it, it comes off really well, and guys are very confident in it. They feel freed up from it, and they play good ball. But that's all part of installing a brand-new scheme for guys that have never seen something like this, is they have to get comfortable in it, and they have to be confident in it. And we will see how long that takes them in training camp, and hopefully not too long into the regular season.
Former Packer, the pride of Barrington, Brian Bulaga with us for a few more minutes on the Score. One more Packers thing, then I want to ask you about something with the Bears. Who is going to be the guy that has the most production in the passing game when the season is over?
Oof. That's a good question.
Thank you.
To me, it's either Wicks or Reed. Those are the two guys that I see being the most productive, or maybe putting up the most numbers. I think Watson right now, he's our deep threat. He's the home run ball type of guy. And it just depends on, you know, his health as well. He hasn't played a full season since he's got into the league, and a lot of hamstring injuries. So it's all about his health as well. But I would say Reed will probably be the guy, to me, if I'm looking at it from the outside, may have the most production.
That's fascinating, because I maybe I'm wrong, but I bet if I polled Bears fans, they would say Christian Watson and maybe Romeo Doubs. I feel like those are the two names that are the most known outside of Green Bay, but the two names that you gave me were Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks. That's interesting local knowledge there. I don't think the casual or outside observer of the Packers would say that.
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing that I really like about this wide receiver group, is they do legit have four guys, right? Like, there's four guys that can hurt you. I just look at Reed as a guy that LaFleur likes to use also in the reverse and run game a little bit. He touches the ball a lot. He's an explosive guy. He has deep threat potential, but he's really good intermediate route runner. And Jordan Love has shown that he throws a decent deep ball. At least he's shown us that, but he's really good between like 25 and in. He can dot it from 25 in, and those guys that run the intermediate routes, they get a lot of targets. And I'm hoping, obviously, we see a little more progression from what we saw early last year in Green Bay. It was a little bit of a stale offense, protecting them a little bit. Obviously, the O-line wasn't playing good. And then it got opened up a little bit more as the season went on, and we saw more production from all these guys. But I think, I'm not saying either of those guys can't have a big year, Doubs or Watson. Sure. I just look at it from me and kind of how they use Reed, that he may have a blow-up year here.
So the Bears are getting a lot of hype, and they're about to get a lot more in the lead up to this year with Caleb Williams and Hard Knocks. Do you think Packers fans are at all afraid of the Bears?
You know, I don't know if they're afraid. And obviously, I think people are intrigued. I think they're very interested in it. I'm very interested in it. But when you add that much talent to an offense, right, the guys that are on that offense, I mean, those are a lot of studs, a lot of studs. So in the back of your mind, as a Packers fan, you'd have to imagine that if Caleb Williams ends up being who everyone thinks Caleb Williams will be, that could be a very dangerous offense and very good and very productive, something that we haven't seen in Chicago in a long time. So I think Packers fans right now are more intrigued by it. And then once the results start happening on the field for the Bears, I think that's when you're going to get a little more nervous Nellies in Green Bay, because right now it's so hard to tell. The kid hasn't even taken a snap of real football yet. We'll see. But if it goes according to the way the Bears have kind of set this team and offense up, and it does go that way, the Chicago Bears are going to be real contenders. But again, that all has to go to plan.
All right, last one. Is there any chance what we saw from Jordan Love last year is a fluke? Any chance?
I don't think so.
Damn it.
I don't. I mean, listen, there's always a chance that there could be a rough patch throughout a season. And there were, like I said earlier, there were a lot of factors that went into the early production lack of production that happened from Jordan Love in those first eight games. I mean, you watch the tape, the offensive line couldn't pass protect. They couldn't run block. So then you don't have a run game. And I think Matt LaFleur was a little tentative calling plays. He was protecting him a little bit. And I think the wideouts weren't in sync with them. And I think as the season went on and Matt LaFleur kind of opened the offense up, the offensive line started to play like they should be playing. Things just turned around and got a lot better. And I think we saw the real version of Jordan Love in the second half of the season. And listen, the NFL's a crazy game. Anything can happen. I'm more than aware of that. Like that is something that, I mean, he could regress, but I don't see it happening. I think what we saw at the end of the year is Jordan Love, and I think he's probably only going to get better.
Well, that is infuriating and terrifying and all of the things, because he was the best statistical quarterback in football the last 10 games of the year, and then he hung 48 in a playoff game. So that presents a lot of problems for the Bears. All right, Brian, thank you as always for answering our calls. We enjoyed it, and we'll do it again as the season gets closer. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Have a good rest of the day.
Absolutely. You too. It's Brian Bulaga, ESPN Radio in Milwaukee, the University of Iowa, Marion Central out there in Woodstock. We appreciate him coming on the show. Yeah, the Packers are it's an interesting offense. Like, that's a lot of depth at receiver with no true number one. But like, I think Dobbs looks really, really good. Watson's a deep threat. Jaden Reed had 8 touchdowns last year and nearly 800 yards. And I know that they do love Wicks up there. So like, that's a lot of depth. They were the youngest offense in football last year. Used a first-round pick, like he said, on Jordan Morgan on the offensive line, so injecting even more youth. Josh Jacobs, they got younger at running back, even though he's a veteran, from A.J. Dillon. So very interesting situation for Green Bay on both sides of the ball with huge expectations. Boog Shambi, it's been a long time. So we'll see if him and I can still recreate the awkward tension when Spiegel is in without him. It's next on The Score.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Boog Shumby.
You know that arrow?
That's my guy. I love Boog.
Cubs play-by-play man for the Marquee Network.
The promo right there. Parkins and Spiegel every day. Stretching the boundaries of hilarious.
Boog Shumby.
Pitch to Hap. High fly ball, right field. That one well struck. That's on its way. Gone! On to Utah Street. Ian Happ stays hot. Three-run homer, and it is 7-2.
Boog Shumby.
Don't care.
With Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
We'll have Boog Shumby in a matter of moments. We're off early for the Cubs and Orioles game that comes your way at 5:35 right here on The Score. Pre-game coverage starts at 5, first pitch 5:35 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. And I should also mention, speaking of the Cubs Radio Network, you can meet Ron Coomer from 7 until 8:30 Friday, July 19th at his restaurant, Coom's Corner in Lockport. Coom will meet fans, sign autographs, give away memorabilia, and more. It's all brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. And I do not believe we've given away our Vampire Weekend tickets. So have the contest line ready when you hear that famous guitar riff. And you call 312-540-0670. If you are the sixth caller, you can go see Vampire Weekend.
That's how you do it.
On July 26th. But joining us now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline is the voice of the Cubs, Boog Shumby. Download the Circa Sports app today. Hi, Boog.
I want to go see Vampire Weekend.
Oh, well, just stay tuned. Be the sixth caller. We're not giving out any freebies around here.
What do you mean you're not giving out any? Well, who's the sixth caller's getting a freebie?
Well, that's
why can't I be the sixth caller?
Well, you can. You gotta stay tuned. You gotta listen longer. Is what I'm saying.
Golly, all right.
No favoritism going on over here. I feel like
where are they playing?
Shane, where are they playing?
Northerly Island.
Oh,
okay.
Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite band to see live, Boog?
Good question right now. Seen Pearl Jam a bunch, seen the National a bunch, Black Keys are quite good. I did not see them this past week. I'm not really sure. I don't know that I have a number one.
So have you gotten to hang with Vetter?
I have a little bit.
How's that go for you?
Yeah, cool. I mean, I was with Sut a couple of times. He knows him, so that's pretty neat. I mean, I remember when that album came out back in the day.
Yeah, I got to imagine that you don't get too excited around baseball people anymore, but you get excited around someone like that, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, especially, it's sort of that convergence, right? Like, they love baseball and I love music, so.
Have you talked to Boog Powell?
I got to see if he's here. I don't know. Was Boog Powell out there? I don't know whether he's out there or not. I don't, but his signs are everywhere. So I usually try to get out there to go see him. The first time that I met him, I went up to him and I started to introduce myself, but he cut me off and he was like, I know who you are. He's really nice to me.
He was okay with it. It was a meeting of the Boogs.
Well, right. I told him, I started to say, I stole your nickname. I'm really sorry. And he was great about it.
I maybe knew this story at one point, but lifestyle choices have led to some short-term memory issues here. How did you get the name, the nickname Boog?
Yeah, Boog Powell.
Boog Powell.
I mean, in 1990-something, somebody gave, said, you look like Boog Powell. I was like, okay, great. And then it just kind of stuck.
I meant, so it's not like a famous person who gave it to you or like a specific.
There was no famous person. No, okay. No. It was just kind of
the resemblance.
But it's also like second half. It's been it's a professional nickname, not one like that I had as a little kid or in high school or in college even.
Got you. I started the show today saying that I maybe have been underappreciative of what Ian Happ does. I was trying to be honest with the audience and myself, because I feel like I've looked at Ian Happ as like, I like him, and obviously like nice guy, smart guy, and all of that, but I've looked at him more through the prism of what he isn't. It's left field. He's not a slug guy. He's inconsistent. Right. How valuable is defense at a non-premium defensive position? So I even like didn't appreciate the Gold Glove stuff as much. He's streaky. I was comparing him to Schwarber, one of my favorite Cubs ever. But then you see him go on a run like this, which is now a very legitimate sample size, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should be focusing more on what he is instead of what he isn't.
Yeah, I mean, and again, the value of having a switch hitter. Look, the one thing that's always been kind of a thread for him is that he controls the strike zone pretty good. So at the very least, his ability to not make outs is there. So when, you know, he's slumping, he'll still take some walks. And when he's red hot, it just feels like he's perpetually on base. It feels like he's hitting rockets all over the place. And then when they don't pitch to him, he takes a walk and he doesn't chase. And that's kind of the way it ends up working for him. And right now he is in a groove that's, you know, lasted, I would say, a better part of a month.
And do you notice anything different, or is it just a hitting is hard?
I wish I could tell you. You know, we try to get at, like last year, he didn't hit the fastball very well.
Yep.
This year, he came in with the intention of hitting the fastball, and even when his numbers weren't great, he did. But it really came at the expense of off-speed and breaking ball success, and now he's gotten in a stretch where he's maintained what he's done against the fastball and elevated against breaking balls.
The big picture stuff is hard to escape, like in our job, not as much in yours. The injury news finally sounds good, like the reinforcements are coming. Do you have any sense of if it feels like it's too little too late to those in the organization?
I don't have a sense for that, and I would honestly say until they actually get here, I understand for what you do, but like, you know, look, Julian Merriweather pitched last night, pitched the perfect inning. They need that arm, and they need stuff like that out there. They've got to keep getting healthier, but also their guys have to hit. So, I mean, injuries are part of the story, I think, as it relates to the bullpen. I don't think that injuries are a huge part of the story as it relates to offense. And this was, you know, the third best offense in the National League by runs per game last year. And this year, you know, it's been 11th most of the season.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like it's just one thing. Like, it's not just trying to hit too much power. It's not just trying to string hits together. It's not just, like, stars not playing to their level. It's just a collection of issues that's made it kind of blah in the aggregate.
Yeah, I don't. Well, they just haven't had anybody that's had. I mean, you take Bush out of it, and everybody else has been pretty. You know, I would say at their averages or under. You know what I mean? Like usually the way a season works is some guys perform over, some guys perform under, and then, you know, you settle into what you are, but they just, for whatever reason, Nico's not had as good a season as we're used to Nico having. You know, same thing for Dansby. The catcher spots have been, you know, really bad, and that's been tough.
Talking to Boog Shambi, Parkinson Spiegel on the Score. If you were in charge of all things baseball, what would you do to get more offense in the game?
Ooh, I don't know. That's not a one-stop shop easy.
Oh, I didn't think it would be. I didn't think it would be. No, it's.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure. It's something. It's hard because I think that when you look at the way the game is right now, there's just so much strikeout, and that isn't going to change unless they do something like velocity restriction or something, you know, like that. But it's just too hard to hit right now. So I'm not sure. I mean, it would take somebody a lot smarter than me to really change this around.
No, I know you don't have the power to do it, but I also know that you're a curious guy and you watch a ton of baseball and you talk to a ton of people in baseball. Like,
I haven't had anybody offer a solution that seems feasible that would truly solve, you know, look, strikeout rate's down, but not, you know, it's down one percentage point or thereabouts from, you know, a couple years ago when it was at its peak. So it's still a strikeout game, and it's still
about scoring with slug because hitting is so challenging. I'm not entirely sure how you put sort of the toothpaste back in the tube. You know, look, they don't give 2-0 fastballs the way they do in an automatic sense, the way they did in an automatic sense. They don't get 3-1 fastballs. So it just becomes this thing where there's not everything is off of the fastball. They throw fewer fastballs than ever, and when they throw them harder than ever. And let's not forget that it's when you're throwing harder than ever, you're not just throwing the fastball harder than ever. The velocity brings everything along with it. So the sliders are harder than ever. The curveballs are harder than ever. The changeups are harder than ever. I don't know what you do. You know, like I think if you really want to move the needle on offense and the ball being in play, it has more to do with, you know, some version of, and I'm speaking out of turn because I'm not even a NASCAR fan, but it'd be like restrictor plate type thing. There's something you'd have to do with the pitching to stop it that I think would really be the main way you'd get it so that the hitters could catch back up.
Yeah, there's talk of it in golf, like, you know, rolling back the ball, doing some limitations on equipment because these guys can just hit it too far and you can only make the golf courses so long. So, yeah, it is possible that the athletes are just getting too good at some of these things. But, like, lowering a mound, making it instead of 60 foot 6 inches, make it 61-6? Like, you know, just like...
Well, but they did stuff, you know, like, so a couple of things. One is when they moved the mound back. In the Atlantic League a couple years ago, and strikeout rate actually went up, and offense didn't do anything.
Okay, that's counterintuitive.
Yes, it is. Very much so. So, again, that's why, like, this is not an easy one, because, like, I would start, like, that seems feasible to me, or that it makes sense, and that's what ended up happening, is you move the mound back, strikeout rate went up, and offense didn't go up.
Do you agree that it's a problem?
I mean, I think that I think that it's a bit of a problem. I'm not sure whether that is the problem or that in today's world it just needs to kind of move more. That it still has to have like more of a pace to it, and that's the combo. But look, I would like to see more. I wish there were fewer strikeouts. I wish that it was easier to score and get a bunch of singles, but it's hard now. So it just makes sense for teams to try and score the way they do. Do I think it's a problem? I mean, look, ultimately we're scoring by hitting the ball over the fence. The one thing that I will plant my flag in the ground of, nobody ever leaves the ballpark and says, you know, the problem with the game we just went to, they hit too many homers. Nobody ever says that, ever.
Right.
Never. Everybody likes homers. And they hit homers, but it's just basically like that's the only way you score.
Which is why the construction of this team is a little complicated. It's kind of built to be a team that strings hits together.
I don't know that I would go quite that far. It's a team that's built to I would say that it's a team that is built to, I mean, look, they were fourth in slugging last year in the National League. You know what I mean? So you can slug and not hit like a massive amount of homers. And even, you know, last year they were kind of middle of the pack-ish. So I think it's a lineup that it's going to get you, you know, more like death by a thousand cuts and not by one dude. But they need everybody to play at their level, and it's harder for them to sustain if multiple guys aren't.
Boog, thank you for the time. It had been too long, sir. Hope to see you soon.
Brother.
And let's get together, man. We'll talk on the radio and off. See you at the ballpark.
I'm in. Get me some Vampire Weekend tickets.
Yeah, stay tuned. Be caller 6. Thank you, Boog. 312-540-0670. It's a man who likes to wear a nice pair of sneakers to a nice concert. He is Boog Shambi. Cubs baseball pregame comes your way in 20 minutes, so we'll put a bow on this thing. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Parkinson Spiegel. Yeah. Sounds like the law firm you call when you get a parking ticket.
Afternoons on the score.
Just putting a button on Ron Washington.
I love when something happens on the station that at least one of us hasn't heard, and so we get the genuine reaction. of whoever has it here, because we're all listening to the station a lot. Tanny probably listens to it the most, although Shane, you've been listening a ton, I feel like, recently.
I'm up so early now that I just turned it on.
Yeah.
I'm tired of watching Pat Tomasulo butcher the sports reports on the GN Morning News.
Shots fired. I liked it. But I have not heard this, but it did make the group chat from both of you guys this morning. So what do we have from our good friends over at Mully and Haw?
So during transition mornings to middays, they introduce the producers, and then they have the sound clip that's played after the producers' names, right?
Just
for, to inject a little bit of fun. And after Mully introduced Brandon Fryer today, they played this clip.
Thank you, Brandon Fryer, for your great work.
Hell yeah, I'm fed up. This team has no balls, let alone no asses and elbows. We need Ohtani and Trout back, or maybe I'll just ask for a trade back to Atlanta.
That's Ron Washington.
That's Ron Washington, yeah.
Good to hear from him, and thank you, Peter Hansen.
No, so here's the thing. It's literally not. AI is a problem now, and
what?
That is an AI'd Ron Washington saying that his team sucks, and he needs Shohei Ohtani back, or he's going to be asked to be traded back to the Braves to coach third base. That's AI. Ron Washington, if Ron Washington got up there and said that after a poor game by his Angels,
it would have been a big story.
Massive story.
Even for baseball, that would have been
massive
a massive story.
And I called Brandon. I was like, hey, did they know? He's like, dude, I didn't even know. So that's, you can't do that.
Or maybe I'll just ask for a trade back to Atlanta.
That's Ron Washington.
That's Ron Washington.
Nope. David doubled down.
The old double nope.
It's not.
Yeah.
It isn't.
AI is
terrifying.
Yep. Because it's going to do and has done already impressive things.
To be fair, though, a real time Ron Washington, not far off. Remember when he did this?
He didn't do the job. It wasn't anything I did wrong.
So it's not far off.
That's
but
true.
It doesn't sound like him. It sounds like RFK without a speech impediment.
But we believed Ron Washington would say something like that.
That's true. But and like using AI for funny things like that, if it fools the occasional morning show.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's fun, right?
It's like, fun. But like, if you're watching the video, the audio of that doesn't even match up with Ron Washington's lips.
Right, but the thing is, like, AI is good. It's not good enough, but it is good enough to fool enough people to matter and be dangerous. Yeah. You know, like, it's
the
not...
olds.
Yeah.
Damn, they still vote.
Yeah, they vote more than the youngs.
Vote. They still run for office.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know if you've been paying attention.
Rest in peace, Joe Biden, by the way.
We got a lot of olds. We got it.
Oh, no?
Yeah, that's, again, fake news.
Sorry, that was AI.
Yeah, exactly. But it's...
Joe is doing a lot of running, though. They're making him run.
They are making him run.
What's his running handicap? He fixed it a lot. He's brought it to its lowest point during his presidency, right?
Oh, my God, dude.
Oh, you can't say that, Danny.
We are living in the absolute most bizarre time. Yeah, but there's a lot more sinister use you could have of AI than Ron Washington talking about Shohei Ohtani, and it happens. It happens. It happens on Facebook. It happens in like terrible corners of the internet. It's very, very dangerous, but that is spectacular. I will say $1 million charity match challenge. I mean, the Don offered it up.
I'd watch it.
I would too.
But I mean, and Donnie would beat his ass.
Yeah.
And of course. Donnie's not even a good golfer.
No, not as good as he says he is.
Not even close.
He's certainly not as good as he says he is.
But Joe would just crumble into dust.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't...
First time he chunks one, it's like his arms are disintegrating.
I don't want to watch a 78-year-old and an 82-year-old golf if it's Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus.
Dude, I don't want to watch them eat pudding.
I don't want to watch them run for president of the United States.
Yes, I don't either.
I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6.
Oh, crap, Joe. Absolutely not, brother.
I don't know which is the bigger lie, Trump is a 2 or Joe is a 6. I just know they're both lies.
I mean, Trump is a 2. That's scratch.
It's two. It's not scratch.
But it's close enough to scratch.
It's very close.
It's close enough.
It's very close.
You call yourself a two, you're like a year away from being scratch.
If you were a two handicap, you've shot rounds of even par.
Yeah.
Which is hard for me to imagine.
Yeah, you can't do that.
he can't, but I don't know. But
giant frontal orb gets in the way.
But I also don't think that Joe has eight rounds in the 70s in his last 20 either. Like, I don't think that that's happening.
In his last 20 years, Danny, not even 20 rounds.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't. Both numbers are obvious lies, and I don't know if anything matters anymore. that's about where I'm at. So apparently a George Clooney op-ed matters a lot if you trust the gambling markets. Well, that was a show.
Gary Batman.
We had Boog Shambi and Brian Balaga as guests. Mark Grody also called into the show early on to defend his honor against a Nico Horner interview in a rundown situation. But if anyone's worried, oh, man, that ended a little poorly with Grody. No, he's still listening. Just texted me recently. Everything's fine. He's still the fifth member of the show.
On that, I sent our promo for tomorrow's show to Russ Matera, production director, and he responded immediately, thank you, and then in parentheses, Grody hater.
Oh.
Wow, Russ is on our side.
Oh, I think he was calling
you. Oh, he was signing it, Grody hater?
No, he said thank you, and then parentheses, Grody hater. I'm assuming he is the Grody hater. That's what it is. Russ has got no voice if it's not imaging.
Yeah. That's the only possible explanation for what that text could mean. No question about it. Thank you to Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, Twitch chat, video stream. Thank you, sirs. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill, making us sound better than we are each and every day. Spiegs is back tomorrow. So for Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. Cubs baseball coming up next on The Score.
It's been a great thing.
Thank you, President Biden.
It's been a terrible thing.